I'm dressed like Steve Jobs today.
Oh, a little bit.
I just noticed like
the
that.
Black.
It's the black turtleneck. That's
yeah, because that's his the jean wash jeans, like, you know, the jean color, and then the black turtleneck,
like 90s jeans.
Yeah, dad jeans.
Yeah. Jeans. Well, it's a good thing.
And his sneakers. He wears the same.
Yeah. What, in New Balance?
Yeah, it's like that. Those dad sneakers. He's.
Everything is back in fashion now. The Steve Jobs is back in fashion.
I'm pretty sure that's my go-to outfit. Like my Abercrombie jeans with a black turtleneck or like a black sweater, long sleeve, and my New Balance.
I was doing some research before today's podcast.
Yes.
Because we're talking about ego and success, and we're going to talk about CEOs and businesses and all of that stuff. And one of the most famous examples of an ego ruining a CEO or founder is Steve Jobs. And I was doing my research into this, and there is so much I did not know.
Okay.
And I brought this up shortly before the podcast. I was like, wow, Fariba, like, he's done a lot of bad things. He's a bad person. And you said,
I said, well, everyone's narrative is different. That's just the narrative that's being fed.
Okay.
And then you said,
I said, said, let's turn on the cameras because we're going to argue.
I disagree with that because I'm going to argue. And then I said, just because someone's agenda is not aligned with yours, it doesn't mean it makes them a bad person.
Okay. Let's take that perspective and put that in the back seat for now, because that is a good perspective to have in general. But if we're going to come to Steve Jobs and talk about Steve Jobs, we have to talk about how flooded the internet is with examples of bad things he has done. And it's not just one person that came out and talked about him or one employee that was sour that had a different perspective than their coworker.
Right.
It is flooded with terrible things about him.
Okay, so let's go through actual concrete things that you saw.
So one of the first things I picked out that I was skeptical about, because I questioned things, is that he used to park in handicap spots, specifically in the very office that he worked. But there's a couple backstories to this. Okay. One is that he refused to have his name in a spot. But then this story was backed up by several employees saying, like, yeah, that's what he does. He would just park in handicap spots.
Yeah.
Now, if we're going to break apart the human condition, and we're going to, because that's what we do, we're trying to understand what kind of human Steve Jobs was. There's a lot of assumptions you can make from this kind of behavior, but they're all going to point back to a bad ego.
Well, no. As you just said, an assumption is not reality. And this is why I said the narrative you're being fed is different. So he, as a CEO and as a founder and someone who really understands how many people in his company actually needed X amount of spots, right? So he could have done the math, and he very well knows that 10% of his employees need X amount of spots, which, let's say it comes to like 50 spots. But because of the layout of the parking lot, they've had to now had 70 spots. So he's well aware that there's additional spots. And because he doesn't believe in vertical management system, he doesn't want his name on a parking lot, which I can understand because that's elitism.
So based on everything he has said and has been documented that he has said to ex-employees and ex-coworkers, that perspective on him does not make sense.
Okay.
And the perspective that he parked in handicap spots because he didn't care, and that because he was above having his name on a spot, he was even just above that. That's the reason why he didn't care, because he lacked
common sense.
All of his quotes, all of his bad personality traits all lead to one singular personality trait, and that is he lacked complete empathy.
Okay.
For anyone and everything mm-hmm. in life.
So this is a really great segue to ego and success. Is it possible for ego to have the power of good? And so going back to what you just said, if we're taking successful people, do they have egos? Yes, because every single one of us, every single human being, I believe, has an ego. It's part of our psychology, right? Now, the way we manage it, the way we identify what our ego is different. In Steve Jobs' case, his ego could be selfishness. His ego could be lack of compassion, lack of empathy. Those could be parts of his ego, right? My part of ego might be different things. I'm very competitive, right? So everyone, first you have to identify what your ego is. And then you have to realize that we all have it. You have to come to terms with it. Understanding that your ego has good parts and bad parts. Steve Jobs' ego may have negative parts to it. But then when it's relative compared to all the good that he's done or he's created or he's able to achieve, it's a balancing act.
So an argument could be made for that as well, though, because you just said all the good that he's achieved. Mm-hmm. So as someone who works in philanthropy, it's well known that Apple is the least charitable organization out there. Someone from my position, let's just say I also didn't care about technology mm-hmm. or had it out for technology and said that it didn't mm-hmm. contribute to the betterment of society, that it only contributed to the individualism of society. You could argue that not only was Steve Jobs an egocentric person, but the business that he built didn't contribute at all to society as well. It, in fact, contributed to the downfall of society. So that is up for perspective as well. But yeah, to I say that...
Again, that goes back to the narrative, and it's a little bit of a tunnel vision because there's different ways, and perhaps he's... I mean, I don't know. I haven't done the research to know how much he's actually given or the charities that Apple actually contributes towards. I don't know any of that, so I won't comment on those. First of all, they're a business, right? And they're a public business, right? Publicly traded company. So if you've got Apple stocks, you're part of the game. You got skin in the game. So him and his board of directors are acting on behalf of everyone. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the bigger picture as a whole, the jobs they've created, the amount of impact they've had on economies. Think about the amount of impact they've had on the growth of our economies, the growth of societies. And yeah, we can go down the route of is technology good or bad, but that's a whole other debate, right? But the reality is we're there. Technology exists and they're a big part of it. Right. So you can't say just because a corporation does not necessarily give back based on the articles that we have access to, because I'm sure they do. I'm sure, especially a publicly traded company like Apple, and especially at the tier that they're in, they have to be social responsibility, corporate responsibility, and their image, brand image.
But that's the whole thing. They don't care about.
But.
And that's because of Steve Jobs' legacy.
Because if you actually read about him and his way of mindset, he's really believes in efficiency. Mm-hmm. The way he runs his company is very efficient. If you're actually into business, you appreciate the way he thinks because it's streamlined. Running a business on that level and making it streamlined and efficient is not easy. And I promise you, if there were a egotistic person, they would have been out there very quickly. You need ego. Again, going back to the beginning of this podcast, ego is not necessarily a bad thing. Athletes have egos. The only way we've actually covered this in one of our podcasts, athletes are meant to think they're the best. They envision themselves winning, right? They're ego is being selfish because when they're training, nothing else matters. When they got marathons, races, competitions, nothing else matters. They're so selfish. They're so competitive. So use your ego for the good. And he's using his ego And I hope he's aware of his downfalls as well. But you should also know that ego has its positive aspects to it if it's managed correctly.
Okay, so let's come back to the human element of this, because I want to get through another few examples of CEOs or founders. And you just said, you know, I hope he's aware of his downfalls. I don't believe he was, because Steve Jobs was ultimately fired from Apple because he went toe-to-toe with his other founder and it all fell apart because people like him believe they are right regardless of any anything that anyone tells them.
Yeah.
And to your point, that's part of the reason why they're successful, because they're going to continue to speak up about what they believe in and they're going to put their product to market regardless of what anyone thinks. I guess that's a good segue into the next person, Elon Musk. Oh, and by the way, Steve Jobs was rehired.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's for another time. So Elon Musk, he's more of a modern day example that I think a lot more people will be more aware of the backstory of. I think a lot of people aren't aware of the human element of Elon. He has a very tragic backstory in his personal life. I think there's, you know, stories of abuse and all that sort of stuff that can, if you look at him as a person today, you can see how they've contributed to who he is today.
Yeah.
I don't think you could debate the fact that Elon is one of the most egotistical people that we can think of.
Egotistical is the extreme part of the ego. Now, we just talked about Steve Jobs, and one of your pushbacks was he's not humanitarian, whereas Elon Musk is. He considers himself a philanthropist, a humanitarian.
But let's concentrate on the actual ego part. The ego is you believe you are correct above all else. You are unwilling to hear the other side of things. That is Elon.
But have you had a conversation with Elon?
Yeah, I've seen plenty of interviews and I've seen everything he's done in the last few years.
See, that's interesting. The overtake of Twitter. I've seen that. That is different. Yes, you're right.
Elon just participated in an interview with Don Lemon where he went toe to toe with him. And any question that was directed towards some like him recognizing any of his downfalls, he acted like a child, which is what egotistical people do.
He has had. I'm not going to argue that. I think part of being human is having bad moments. We all have the right to have those moments. And he has had moments, especially with X, where not only, hold on, I'm going to put a little insert here, because there's also theories that he's 10 steps ahead of us because his plan with X is completely something else than Twitter. To your point, I think you're right. Some of the examples we've seen of him, perhaps even recently, because I think he's kind of gone down a bit. Elon, like 3-4 years ago, he was a different kind of guy. I'll agree, for the most recent part of Elon, I agree with you. I think he has kind of lost his sense of humility a little bit.
So examples like Elon are more similar to examples like Kanye, and less similar to the Steve Jobs. So Steve Jobs' ego got in his way because he really believed that everything he was doing was right. And so then he went toe-to-toe on the business side and all that stuff. You didn't see a lot of public tantrums. I mean, although some are quoted. But the Elon and Kanye situations are almost a little bit similar. Kanye is just a little bit more out there. But both of them show tantrums in the public eye. In some capacity. In a business sense, the way the purchase of Twitter X happened and how Elon went about the employees and all that stuff, it was very much of, I'll do what I want, F you. And Kanye is very much the same kind of person. They believe they are geniuses and just trust me, I'm going to do what I need to do and F the rest of you. And they don't do it in any kind of tactful way. They don't do it in a very humane way. And this is the perception that the public is left with.
I'm not left with that.
Well, most people.
With Elon, I'm not left with that. With most Kanye, people. I am. You know, we talked about narrative in the beginning. And if you're being fed on your Twitter and on your algorithms, that's the direction that someone is being portrayed, you're going to be continue being fed that. But the feeds I'm getting of Elon are very different than that. He's having constructive conversations. He's talking about philosophy. He's talking right. about history. He's talking about things that makes a little bit more sense than someone like Kanye. Yeah, he's having outbursts, I agree. But he's very quick to fix himself too.
Yeah, I'm seeing a little bias from your end mm-hmm. because I think that you have a lot of favoritism towards business leaders. Mm-hmm. And I think you're very quick to defend leaders that have been very successful in the business world. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to compare both Kanye and Elon
Kanye is a businessman too.
On the same level, I would say that they are very equal.
I disagree with that. Whether they both have a certain level of egotism, yes.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes. But is Kanye way above that? Yes, because at the extreme level of egotism, this is where racism happens. This is where anti-Semitism happens.
Elon's been caught saying the worst things as well. I think he's just able to phase it out a little bit easier because he's not as outlandish as Kanye is. He does have a little bit more business in him. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he is that person through and through. He's let things slip. He's let things happen on Twitter. He tweets like a child.
He does. Yeah, he does. We all have ego. But I'm not disputing the fact that there's egotism in these billionaires. I'm not disputing that because what was the book?
Ego is the enemy?
No, because I'd like us to change that perspective. I don't think ego has to be a negative thing. If you take your ego and do it for the good, then use the power of it for the good, it could be useful to you.
So that's the question, though. Who says it's good?
Well, do you think you have an ego?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you identify you as having an ego? So is it, when we talk about selfishness, competitiveness, what's the identity of your ego?
I think my worldview mm-hmm. is one of the better ways you can have a perception of the world and a perception of people. But see, I'm willing to say that the product I'm trying to put together, aka a podcast and me putting all the stuff, I'm trying to say, no, this is good. This is good. But I will not contest someone that comes up to me and is like, how do you think what you're doing is good? There's people out here dying and you're trying to make a podcast about this. I'm for people contesting that. And that's why I'm saying at least my ego can be put in check. Be like, yeah, you're probably right.
Okay. So just
what I'm doing is shit. But if you say that to Elon, mm-hmm. he's going to be like, absolutely not. My way of work is contributing to the best world that this world could ever be. He has complete tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. That's
so
the
just
problem
going back
with people
to the
like
question,
this.
Which was, what do you identify your ego to be? So if we're saying if it's about selfishness, competitiveness, aggression, so what would you identify? You believe you're righteous, your ego, your identity of your ego is more like a righteous person?
No, I believe that the way I see the world
is one
of the best ways you could see the world.
Right. So righteousness. Your view is correct.
No, my view is correct. But
so
I'm willing to take a back seat on
hold
that.
Hold on. Your view is correct.
Yes.
So your ego identity is righteousness. Okay. Now that we've identified it, and you can accept it. Obviously, you just said I've accepted it. And if someone challenges me, I'm aware of it. So you've identified it. You're aware of it. And I know you. I've known you for a long time. You've also accepted it, right? Now, the next step is, would you say, out of the mentality mm-hmm. that you think, the way you view the world, some good has come from it?
I don't know.
The fact that you're able to sit here and maybe help other people trying to understand.
No, I see. I'm unwilling to say that. I'm unwilling to say that what I'm doing is good.
The premises of our podcast is let's get you thinking.
Yes, I know. But I'm unwilling to go out there and say full stop that what I am doing is good.
I'm not saying good. good and right are different things.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is why I said, just because someone's views are not aligned with yours, it doesn't mean they are bad. Going back to the identity of this righteousness thing about your ego, has some good in your life come from it?
In my life?
In your own personal life, has it produced anything positive?
For me or for people?
Both. Anyone. Because you're part of it. You're part of the good.
For myself, yes. For people, no.
Okay. So you don't believe that the way you view things is helpful for your friends? You haven't provided any insight?
I want to believe that it's helpful, but I will not say that I believe it is doing good for them.
I'm not saying good. Do you think you provide a healthy, maybe... Because you're just contradicting yourself.
If yes,
you
think I know. You're That's right, my point.
Okay.
Because I can recognize it.
No.
I'm unwilling to be as obnoxious as the other egotistical people.
No, because it's almost like you're denying, you're recognizing that this is part of your righteousness. But then instead of allowing, if you truly believe your perspective is correct, you now have some level of, and we've talked about this off camera, where you say you believe you have
yes
the right view, and you there's a confidence that comes with that when you talk to your friends. And so part of that is the positive part.
No, but I don't believe that I can change people.
I'm not saying no one can change anyone.
I know, but that's part of the answer. But it's believing that I actually have an influence on people.
No.
And I don't believe that I do.
We should not sit here and think that we have the power to change anyone.
Elon does.
No. What you... I can't say yes or no because I actually don't know him. What we can only do, if you have that kind of perspective and if you think you're correct, is you sit there and you say, okay, forget other people, right? Even for yourself. That perhaps this part of your ego that you've just identified of my view is correct allows you to be more successful at work. Perhaps it allows you to be more creative or more risk, like a risk taker with certain creative projects. Perhaps it allows you to voice your opinion a little bit more firmly when you're having a conversation. These are all positive things that are coming from your ego. They're not negative things. But what you've done is you've managed your ego. You're saying, wait, I can actually use this for my benefit. For example, someone who is selfish, either identity of their ego is selfish, they can choose to be selfish and spend more time with their family.
But that's how we originally identified the ego in our first episode, where we talked about the whole point of it is that you have to balance it.
Right.
So when we talk about being an egomaniac, which is these founders that we're talking about people that cannot and have not balanced their ego. And that is what I am accusing them of. Mm-hmm. And that is not a good person. And that is not a person that should mm-hmm. be leading a company mm-hmm. or having an influence on products or the world.
I do appreciate what you're saying. And I think to a certain extent, if you were just to take the publications or the media and the narrative that we're being told, maybe there is some angle you can play at there.
There is one more example of a mm-hmm. founder that we haven't touched on, and that is Dove, and I can't remember his last name. He's the founder of American Apparel, and he had a lot of personal scandals.
Yeah.
And basically his own company gave him the opportunity to have a clean slate and take his cut, and he basically shot himself in the foot because yeah. he let his ego get in the way. He was so adamant his own personal scandals
were more important than
or just weren't yeah. true enough to have gotten in the way of his business. He was mm-hmm. going to, that was the hill that he was going to die on.
Yeah.
And he ended up losing everything because he could not face his own wrongdoings. And that's an extreme example.
Yeah. But I think that's actually a really good example
yes,
of egotism.
Unfortunately, other founders, we aren't so lucky. They don't get to fall on their sword like we saw with Dove. Either they have too much money or too much influence in their communities. Kanye he's one of them, right? Like Kanye still has that close-knit circle around him.
It's interesting. Again, I think Kanye has kind of fallen a bit.
He has, but he can still prevail because he has his community around. See, he has artists that still want to work with him.
So you think he could make a comeback?
Oh, he's still out there. He's still generating millions of dollars.
I know. But see, when you're making six figures and now you're only making like five figures, you've depleted. So like for me, his regression in his art, in his business, in his family, it's all gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is all from the perception that we're fed. It could all be a game and it's a hoax, right? Like, this could all be for the media and he's been playing us. What we're being fed though is he's made some big mistakes. A lot of brands have fallen out with him. And sometimes there is too much water under the bridge. And so he might be able to make a tiny bit of a climb back up, but I can't see him being at the level he used to be at. And maybe that's similar for Elon as well. Because a few years ago, the way Elon carried himself and the way he was running the businesses were amazing. And now you're kind of like, What does he have in mind now? Where's the direction that X is going in? What was the point of it? How are profits down? What's going on?
So let's talk about the concept of a genius, putting ego aside for a second, because I want to come back to this full circle. Let's rewind a couple centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, we are old. 1700s, 1800s.
Oh, gosh.
Let's go back to the days of Beethoven. Let's go back to the days of Picasso.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we researched, there's probably some stories about the human element of these people that we don't know about in this conversation. But let's just say that we don't really have a lot of information on them. They were geniuses of their time. They produced exceptional artistic products. Had we found out that there were elements to their personalities that was
egotistical
or just criminal based? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
At this point today, in today's world, we hold people more accountable. We don't hold them as accountable as we should, but we hold them more accountable because we put them on blast, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. But we can hold them accountable because things are public.
Right.
Right.
If you fast forward a century or two from Beethoven and go into the days of the Beatles, John Lennon, all of these artists, I think there's a lot of narrative and dialogue around hallucinogens.
Creative juices.
Yeah. That promoted creativity in these geniuses.
Yeah.
Which would technically be frowned upon in today's world. If you take this and put this argument into also athletes, because it was more widely accepted.
Like doping.
Yeah. And now you don't just get a slap on a wrist for it. You're like banned from the sport. So we keep changing the rules, right? We keep changing the rules of what's acceptable and what you need to be held accountable for, because we're becoming and we became a more civilized society.
I'm going to challenge that.
I mean, we're still running wild, but like,
this goes back to our sense of entitlement a bit.
Right.
Because we have access to these very private moments in people's lives, we somehow feel the need to sit here and make all sorts of assumptions and all sorts of judgments because we now have access to their information. If we're not told all these articles about Steve Jobs and about his handicap parking, right? And we're not sitting here and judging them based, we wouldn't know.
So, but this is exactly what I'm trying to talk about. If you just take the idea of a genius, how much should geniuses be held accountable for just because they are geniuses?
You're saying to what extent does the good outweigh the bad?
And should we be even having this conversation? Because if you sit back on it, it's like, that is absolutely not fair that someone who is talented should have more privilege, should have more leeway in life.
But I think it goes into what kind of privilege and what kind of good and bad they're doing. I think it's all about context. If you're sitting here and you're saying, maybe he wants to be the first in line in his parking spot because he gets into work at a certain time and he's the owner of the car.
Hold on.
But this is why I'm putting things in context, right? That bad behavior, mm-hmm. or maybe selfish behavior or inconsiderate behavior, is not the same level as someone committing a crime of killing someone.
But herein lies the problem.
It's all about context.
Because for a regular civilian, mm-hmm. this is how you grow a world where everybody hates each other. Because to a regular civilian, I got a $350 ticket once for parking in a handicap zone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at that example of Steve Jobs. No,
that's
I'm absolutely
not. Why are you comparing yourself to Steve Jobs?
I'm going to look at that example of Steve Jobs and be like, how in the world?
Go own a company, go own Apple and park in a handicap zone.
That is the wrong way to think.
Yeah, but that's
how
your ego.
How can some people, that
because
is
you're getting
living,
so worked up over it.
Because... No. You're promoting
I'm not
giving privilege to the elite
I'm
class
I'm not
that is the absolute wrong thing to
no,
do
I'm not at all I'm
so,
not promoting it
okay so
but
how
what
about
I'm saying
how
is,
about those people mm-hmm. who watch rappers take drugs mm-hmm. and doing drugs in public and mm-hmm. no consequences for them mm-hmm. and their best friend just got arrested and they've been stuck in jail for something that was literally put up in front of them 5 minutes ago at a concert. Mm-hmm. How do they feel? It's what we're doing is we're promoting the
you
privilege
can't.
Of the elite class mm-hmm. and that is where hate grows because it is unfair. That is not fair.
You know, we've established life is unfair. We've established that. Is it going to benefit you to have this kind of comparison and hatred and all this to all of us? I'm not saying you. Is it going to benefit any of us? No. Can we promote a more uniform society? Yeah, but that's also not realistic. That's not life. So sit here and argue it all you want.
I think it should be brought to light.
But it is. People have. But the reality is classism exists. It's part of our society. Classism actually exists even in animals.
Right. But what we're doing is we're allowing these CEOs, we're promoting that them having an ego is okay.
So
that them
again,
having an egocentric behavior is okay. And that is not okay.
You're right.
You're idolizing. And then some kid's going to grow up and say, okay, the only way I can be successful is if I'm going to be exactly like Elon, if I'm going to be exactly like Steve Jobs. And you know what? I am going to park in this handicapped spot. And I can do whatever I want because I'm a genius. You're promoting that kind of like F you attitude is the route to success.
No, that's such a tunnel vision of thinking about it. You can't take one example and then apply it to like every single thing. This is part of parenting. Like, yeah, honey, this is a bad thing we do. It's not what we do. We shouldn't be doing it. You should be more respectful. You should be, you know, more considerate. It's part of growing up, parenting. And I think it's important to promote all the positives. Like positive reinforcement is important. And yeah, maybe if I was HR, maybe if I was Steve Jobs, Elon Musk's PR team or whoever, I would say, listen, it's about whether you like it or not, you're being looked up to. Just like celebrities. Whether you like it or not, you're being looked up to. Perhaps you're just here to run a business. But we're setting a standard, a culture for our company. It is not okay to be parked in the handicap spots. Now, we can do a plain one, just like a plain spot. We won't put your name on it, but you're not allowed to park in a handicap spot.
Right.
Or I watched a video the other day of this guy who parks illegally and he gets tickets every single time. And he was like, okay.
It's cheaper than paying for a parking spot.
He's like, I don't care. I'll get a ticket. He's like, this is my convenience fee.
Yeah.
Because the city needs to tax me. this is my convenience fee. And if you go down the road of taxation and all of that, people can argue, well, yeah, he's parking in a handicap spot, but he's also paying at 70% of tax systems. You can't, again, part of having an ego is always comparing yourself to other people. I think the best thing we can do for ourselves is choose to wake up, act as the best versions of ourselves.
But what if your definition of the best version of yourself is skewed because you have a big ego?
Ego doesn't have to be a bad thing, but recognizing it, identifying parts of it, accepting it, and seeing how you can use it to be better instead of bad. The perfect example is a fire, a burning fire. You can cook with it. You can warm your house with it. You can melt metal with it, right? There's so many positive things that comes from fire. But there's also a lot of bad things that comes with fire. Fire is the metaphor for ego. It's going to have its good and bad. Let's figure out what it can do. Is it selfish? Is it competitiveness? Is it arrogance? Is it entitlement? What is it? What is that thing that your ego does? Because everyone's got different things about them. And then figure out what are some good things that come from it. Is your competitive drive able to make you succeed? And not to the point where you're hurting others, but to the point where you're able to make a better impact on your company, for your family, for your friends.
So that's the thing that we need to think about, though, because the kids that are growing up and see no consequences for successful people, they don't have a gauge on the conversation of be successful, but at what cost? They don't have that gauge unless we hold the current people accountable. So my focus and my passion is holding those people accountable. There was something recent that just happened with Shohei Ohtani, who's like the best Major League Baseball player in existence for right now and for a while. And he's worth a lot of money to the league, to the team, and he's caught up in a gambling scandal. But there is a narrative happening. I can see people starting to have it in the comment sections. They are aware of the contradiction that's happening between the league, who is promoting sports betting apps, has a lot of financial stake in this, while also being forced to slap players on the wrist for participating in it. Now, there's lots of different arguments you can make about this, but because Shohei Ohtani is so beloved, it's actually not as controversial as it probably would be with a more controversial player that maybe a lot of people hate. And everyone wants to see Ohtani succeed because he is an absolute talent and genius. We are giving him the benefit of the doubt. We're not digging as deep as we probably could be, as we just did with the Kate Middleton stuff. And it's very obvious that that's what's happening. So it really shows how we as a society we do practice favoritism, and that bleeds into how accountable we make people. But it also says a lot about our own hypocrisy, which is something that needs to be brought to light, because if we're going to continue to be hypocrites, then you have to be aware of the other areas you're being a hypocrite in.
I agree. And I definitely think our society, our media, we've seen it a lot the past couple of years, where there is favoritism, there is bias. We see it through celebrities, we see it through politics, where a certain narrative is promoted because it's just liked, because more they understand that it's more popular. Is it right? No. Does it happen? Yes. It even happens in your small circles. So let's not even extend it to the media and like the world. But go back to your friend circles and their judgments and their narratives. And when they come back from a dinner party and the way they talk about other people.
Just because you've healed from your toxic ex-boyfriend and have matured doesn't mean that you can go and judge your friends who have just entered their own toxic situation.
Exactly.
It's but it's all about recognizing and keeping your ego in check.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about, we always talk about this, you and I, it's about self-analyzing yourself, right? Like psychoanalyze. I do this with myself all the time and I always get surprised when people don't do it. I play my own devil's advocate, even to the point where sometimes I present my other narrative to you because I'm just trying to challenge. I'm trying to challenge my own narrative and I'm trying to understand if I'm where my head is at. Self-doubt yourself, not in a toxic way, not in like question yourself all the time, but you cannot always think that whatever information pops in your head is the right information. Like, that's scary to me that people are like, "Ooh, I've had a thought and this thought must be right." What?
Yeah.
Like, question yourselves. But, you know, it's part of living and learning. It's part of accepting things. I don't think ego necessarily has to be such a negative thing. Egotism, the extreme form of it, narcissists, yes. But the word ego doesn't have to come with such a negative connotation. I think it goes back to just being self-aware, managing things. We all have good and bad. We all have good, bad traits. You know, maybe if we just spend a little bit more time being more positive and thinking more positively about how can we improve ourselves a little bit? How can we use the bad to make it a little bit better? It's like leftovers.
And holding your boss accountable.
Yeah, don't let them park in handicapped spots. Fucking HR, get on that.
Yeah, Steve. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
He's dead. Oh boy. It brought to you by our Apple iPhones.
Guys, just a quick note as well. If you're enjoying some of these podcasts, some of these episodes, feel free to share because that's how we kind of get boost a bit. Yeah, share them with your friends, share them with your family. If you have any comments, any recommendations that we should talk about, topics you want us to cover, just let us know.
What do you want us to cover?
Yeah.
We've okay. got the answers. We do.
Hashtag ego.
All right. Over and out.
See ya.